Chapter 2 Teo sprinted to the front of the panaderia. Thick, black smoke billowed into the air, blotting out the sun, while flames licked the now empty window frames of the third floor. Something swooped down from above, knocking into Teo's head.
She's still inside! She's still inside!
The masked Tatira zoomed back and forth, frantically beating his wings. Streaks of soot darkened his silvery feathers. Who's inside? Teo asked, but the bird was inconsolable.
I left her. I can't believe I left her.
Out of impatience, Teo caught the bird between his hands. Who?
My human. I left my human.
Teo could feel the poor thing's racing heart.
Veronica.
Teo's stomach dropped. Where is she?
The second floor.
Show me. Teo released the bird, and he darted to a broken window on the second floor.
Here! She's here! Please help her! Please!
The Tatira begged. Every fiber of Teo's being told him to go in. There was a fire escape that led right to the window, but he didn't know what he was doing. Teo didn't know jack shit about fires. It wasn't like fire science was an elective at Quetzalon High. But this was his city. His panaderia. The green concha waiting for his mom. If any of his people were in danger, he sure as hell wasn't going to sit by and watch. If he didn't do something, Veronica could die. Without a plan or a single coherent thought in his head, Teo ran for the fire escape.
Shit, shit, shit,
he hissed to himself as he tore up the rickety steps. Teo tumbled through the window and was immediately choked by thick, acrid smoke. Teo coughed, his eyes stinging as he dropped to a crouch, trying to stay below the smoke line. He tried to call out for Veronica, but more burning smoke filled his lungs. Teo looked frantically around the room. It was by sheer luck that he spotted the crown of someone's head peeking out from behind a counter. He ran over and found Veronica slumped on her side, unconscious but still alive. A loud crack cut through the air, and the floor beneath Teo's feet trembled moments before part of the ceiling caved in. Smoldering roof beams crashed down, sending sparks swirling in the air and blocking off the window he'd just used. Ropes of fire chewed at the wood and crept across the floor. The paint on the walls bubbled as the temperature in the room skyrocketed. Teo knew you weren't supposed to move someone who was unconscious, but now seemed like a pretty good time to make an exception. Teo scooped Veronica easily into his arms, but when he tried to squeeze past fallen rafters to the window, his arms scraped against the burning embers. He jerked back as jade-colored blood bloomed on his singed skin. It wasn't like he could put the fire out or just slam through a wall to make a new exit. The best he could do was find somewhere for them to get away from the fire, but the options were limited. Thinking quickly, Teo pulled Veronica into the open walk-in freezer, seconds before a beam crashed through where she'd been lying. Inside the cooler, the plastic containers started to melt, but it would at least buy them some time.
It's Marino!
Someone shouted from outside.
If Marino was here, that meant the Golds had arrived.
Relief and dread twisted in Teo's stomach. That meant Aurelio and Aristella were here too. Another window shattered as water poured inside, scalding steam billowed. Teo tried to call out, but his throat was so raw he could only cough, and even that sound was drowned out by the rush of Marino's water spray. He had to block himself and Veronica from the steam. Teo grabbed the stainless steel door and tugged it closed to act like a shield. He pulled Veronica as deep into the walk-in freezer as he could, but the fire was moving fast. He could hear the hissing steam and jets of water, but flames were already licking under the door, reaching for them.
Help!
Teo finally managed to shout. Suddenly, the flames under the door disappeared, like they'd been sucked away. Voices spoke from inside the warehouse, muffled by the steel door.
We're in here,
Teo shouted, his voice strained. Oh, shit, he heard Marino, son of Agua, say.
I think there's people in there.
Three sets of footsteps came pounding toward them. The door was ripped off its hinges. Teo collapsed into a heap. Through the steamy haze, three figures stepped forward.
Dios, are you all right?
A boy with strong bone structure and a thick build asked, quickly stepping into the freezer. Marino's cool, umber skin hadn't even broken a sweat. Teo could only nod as his chest heaved against his binder, and he desperately tried to gulp down fresh air. A girl pushed past Marino. Her ember-colored eyes flicked to Veronica before landing on Teo, narrowing sharply.
Is she alive?
Aristella, daughter of Lumbre, demanded, like he'd been purposely keeping the unconscious baker captive or something. Teo nodded again. She moved in, lifted Veronica into a fireman's carry, and promptly made for the exit. Veronica would be okay. The relief crashing through Teo made him shake. His eyes burned so badly from the smoke he could barely see through his tears and singed lashes.
You're okay,
Marino said, kneeling down next to Teo. He cupped his hands and conjured two gentle spouts in his palms, like a makeshift eye wash.
That was either a very smart move or a very stupid move, bird boy.
I like to toe the line, Teo replied, his voice barely more than a wheeze, before he bent over to rinse his eyes. The cool water both stung and soothed.
Is he all right?
A third voice asked, one that made Teo's chest clench painfully.
He will be,
said Marino, thumping Teo on the back a little too hard. He sat up and wiped the water from his face. A pair of strong hands pulled him to his feet. Teo blinked the droplets from his eyes to find a pair of copper-brown ones staring back at him.
Aurelio, son of Lumbre, frowned at him. While Aristella's features were softer and Aurelio's nose was broader, the two were unmistakably twins. They wore the same hairstyle, an undercut with their hair knotted at the back of their heads, and even their form-fitting crop-top uniforms were similar, except for the gold bands Aurelio wore around his forearms and the flint-tipped gloves that covered his thumb and pointer finger.
Are you okay?
He asked.
I'm fine, Teo snapped, but he was wobbly at best, and his arms trembled in Aurelio's warm iron grip.
He tried to yank himself free, but Aurelio held firm. Aurelio was the last person he wanted to see right now, especially when he was in such a sorry state. Teo hadn't spoken to Aurelio in years, and he wasn't interested in starting now.
You're shaking, Aurelio replied, his voice as cool and calculating as ever. You might be in shock.
Teo attempted a sarcastic laugh.
You're being dramatic. Can you walk?
Of course I can. Teo took a step, but his knees immediately buckled. Aurelio caught him easily. He slung Teo's arm over his shoulder and hooked his arm around Teo's waist. The sudden proximity sent a shock through Teo's body. His breath hitched in his throat, only making him more annoyed.
I don't need your help,
Teo snapped, even as Aurelio led him out of the freezer.
Yes, you do, Aurelio said.
Teo would have preferred sarcasm, annoyance, or even anger instead of his infuriatingly placid response. It was bad enough that the golds had to show up, but worse was knowing Aurelio was right. He needed their help. As they walked around the smoldering debris, Teo's foot landed on something soft. Under his shoe was a rag doll with ribboned hair, a hand-woven blouse, and a colorful skirt.
Wait,
Teo planted his feet, pulling Aurelio to a stop. His heavy brow furrowed.
What are you doing?
Teo ignored him and bent down to scoop up the doll. It was a bit soggy and would need a good wash, but was overall still intact. Aurelio frowned at him disapprovingly. Heat flushed Teo's cheeks.
I told a little girl I'd get it for her.
Aurelio shook his head like he didn't understand.
It's a doll. It doesn't matter.
Maybe he was right, but Teo would never give him the satisfaction.
To you, it doesn't, but to her, it does. He shot back. It's just a toy. Teo let out a sharp laugh. I wouldn't expect you to understand. Teo was ready to argue, wanted to, in fact, but Aurelio only stared at him for a moment before shaking his head and looking away. He practically carried Teo down the fire escape and back to the street where fire trucks and camera crews had gathered. Great. Now there was photographic evidence that he'd needed to be rescued by Aurelio. Teo wished he had been swallowed up by the flames. Veronica was wheeled into an ambulance, her Tatira companion pacing anxiously across her legs. Aurelio didn't release Teo until the paramedics hefted him away. Aurelio took his simmering body heat with him, leaving Teo shivering as the paramedics tended to him. Luckily, semidioses healed quickly thanks to their godly blood. A group of concerned citizens crowded around Teo. Thank goodness you're all right, Teo, someone said. Your mother will be so worried. That was dangerous. You should have waited for the heroes. Teo didn't have the energy to respond. Instead, he watched discreetly as Aurelio rejoined Auristella and Marino. The other two smiled for the cameras and frenzied reporters who swarmed like bees, but Aurelio hung back, gingerly massaging his thumb into his palm. An odd mix of anger, spite, and something more electric that he couldn't place buzzed through Teo's whole body. When Aurelio glanced in his direction, Teo quickly turned away, jaw clenching as the sensation danced across his skin. Teo searched the crowd lining the street and spotted the little girl, her face all but buried in her mother's skirts as she tried to reassure her daughter. Teo walked over and dropped to a knee before her. Is this Maria? Teo asked gently with a tired grin. The girl looked up and tentatively took the doll from him. In a blink, a wide smile brightened her tear-stained face.
You saved her!
The girl crashed into Teo, throwing her arms around his neck. A surprised laugh bucked in Teo's chest.
Our hero,
the girl's mother said with a relieved sigh. The bitter twist of his mouth was hidden by the girl's curls. Hero. Yeah, right. After convincing the paramedics and everyone else that he was fine, Teo made to head home. At this point, he was doomed to a lecture to rival all lectures from Huemac. Every temple in Reino del Sol was U-shaped, with a large set of exterior steps that led to an observatory where the main altar stood. They looked different, depending on the god and the city, but each housed a sunstone, the piece of Sol that provided light and protection from the dangers locked away among the stars. At night, the beams from the sunstones could be seen from several miles away. At the moment, it was a glaring reminder that the Sunbearer trials began in a handful of hours, and Teo was very late. The Quetzal Temple was in the middle of the city and could be seen from nearly anywhere. It was painted a bright, warm yellow with many archways so birds could come and go as they pleased. He normally loved looking at the larger-than-life mosaics of tropical birds, painstakingly crafted with colorful tiles, but today they seemed to loom over him as he hurried toward the courtyard. The fluttering of wings echoed, and birdsong rang out, welcoming Teo home as they flew between the canopy of trees overhead. In a matter of moments, he was swarmed. Gem-colored hummingbirds zipped past his ears, while a pair of toucans bounced happily at his feet, singing their greetings. It's good to see you too, Teo chuckled, trying not to wince and accidentally hurt the feelings of the peachy pink parrot squawking joyfully from his shoulder. Ouch, he hissed, ducking as a rose-bellied bunting expressed his love by tugging out a small chunk of Teo's dark hair.
Shoo, shoo, leave him be,
Claudia's voice rang out. In a flash of feathers, his friends dispersed. They act like I was gone for days. Thanks for saving me, he said, with an amused grin to the woman in the turquoise robes of Quetzalan priests.
Don't thank me,
Claudia huffed with a stern look,
sharpened by a tight hair bun nestled on her head. You look a mess, and Tuemac has been looking for you. You're very late. Don't keep your mother waiting.
Claudia gave his shoulder a smack.
I'm going.
Teo grinned, not even attempting a straight face as he danced out of her reach. He sprinted across the wet floor, his dirty sneakers leaving black footprints while a priest mopped the old stone.
Ugh, Teo, the priest lamented. Sorry, he called with a guilty dip of his head, narrowly avoiding another priest carrying a large platter filled with fruit, seeds, and bugs.
A quetzal waited patiently on the priest's shoulder while a toucan made himself at home on a pile of passion fruit and hummingbirds fought noisily overhead. Teo passed tiny waterfalls that spilled over volcanic rocks into crystal clear pools filled with water lilies. Birds splashed around, droplets sparkling in the sunlight on their multicolored feathers. He rounded a corner and found Tuemac waiting for him with folded arms. He stood on the large stone steps that led to the observatory, surrounded by a group of priests. His quetzal companion, Cielo, sat perched on his shoulder.
Tuemac!
Teo greeted, his arms held wide at his sides as he put on an even wider smile.
You haven't welcomed me home from school since I was a little kid. Aren't there more important things you should be doing?
He asked with as much innocence as he could muster.
Yes, there are,
Tuemac agreed with a withering look, his thin lips pressed into a line. Tuemac was tall and angular, with sun-wrinkled skin and a perpetually exasperated expression that seemed to deepen whenever Teo entered the room. He wore emerald-green robes that marked him as the head priest of Quetzalan. A jade rod was pierced through his septum, and one of Cielo's tail feathers hung down to his shoulder from a jade plug in his left ear.
Been catching up with the stars?
Teo guessed. He always found the head priest bent over his telescope.
Planets,
Tuemac corrected, adjusting the chunk of jade engraved with the Quetzal glyph that hung around his neck.
And what do the planets have to say today?
That you're late.
You need a telescope to tell you that? Most people use a watch.
And that you nearly got yourself killed,
he added, looking Teo up and down.
The planets knew about the fire?
Teo asked, impressed.
You're also covered in soot, Tuemac added.
Teo clicked his tongue and pointed finger guns at the annoyed priest.
You got me there.
This isn't a joke, Teo,
Tuemac said, his voice suddenly sharp. Teo's grin faded. I know it's not. A deep crease settled between the older man's eyebrows.
You could have gotten yourself hurt, or worse, put others' lives in danger.
Teo scoffed.
What was I supposed to do? Stand by and watch while...
Tuemac cut him off.
You are not a hero, Teo.
Teo's mouth snapped shut. It was true. He wasn't a hero, but it wasn't like anyone had given him a chance to be. He was destined for a dull life of serving his mother like a glorified priest. The very thought was enough to send his pulse thudding, trapped under his skin. He didn't want to be cooped up in Quetzalan for the rest of his life, never getting the chance to see the rest of the world or find something he was actually good at. Tuemac closed his eyes and pinched the bridge of his nose before taking a deep, long-suffering breath.
It is the responsibility of the heroes to protect the people of Reino del Sol, he explained. And it is my responsibility to protect you, troublemaker.
A responsibility that Tuemac undoubtedly loathed.
Go up and greet your mother, and don't make her wait any longer than she's already had to,
Tuemac said in a tired voice.
We'll meet you there with your regalia.
With that, he went back into the temple, leaving Teo feeling like a scolded child. He took a deep breath before hitching his backpack higher on his shoulder and starting the long ascent to the observatory. Teo had tried to talk Tuemac into installing an escalator, but the head priest had just sniffed indignantly and cited tradition, the sanctity of the ancient temple, and blah, blah, blah.
When he finally reached the top and entered the gold-framed glass observatory, Teo could see all of Quetzalan far below. A gray smudge lingered in the air where the fire had broken out. The observatory housed Huemac's beloved Quetzals, the pride and joy of Quetzalan. The electric green and blue birds perched on ancient astronomy tools like tarnished armillary spheres and jade sundials. They cleaned their ruby chest feathers from the tops of telescopes and ate from golden bowls with their short, yellow beaks. The main altar was set in the middle of the observatory. It was surrounded by candles of different shapes and sizes in tall gold holders. His mother's glyph stood in the very center. The 10-foot square slab of pristine jade was carved to resemble a Quetzal mid-flight. Its wings spread and long tail feathers curled in while its small pointed beak tipped skyward. Hovering above the glyph was the sunstone, slowly spinning in midair. It was too bright to look at it directly, but before Teo burned his retinas, he could catch a glimpse of the smooth surface that seemed to undulate with light, giving off tiny flares. It beamed a radiant blaze of light up into the sky, disappearing somewhere beyond the clouds. He passed a young boy with a blessing from Teo's mother, a scarlet macaw feather gripped tightly in his hand. Jade gods were the only ones who gave out their blessings in person. The gold gods were too busy and passed off dealing with mortals to their priests. Teo awkwardly lingered off to the side, not wanting to interrupt as his mom gave an older woman a long, shimmering green feather. Quetzal cupped the woman's cheek with her hand and spoke softly as the woman smiled up at her with watery eyes. As a priestess escorted the woman out, Quetzal turned. Upon seeing her son, a bright smile broke across her luminous face. "There you are," she said, relief in her sing-song voice. "Hey, Mom," he said, guilt settling on him like a weight. Quetzal was a vision of beauty, as vibrant as the birds surrounding her. Instead of hair, long feathers framed her oval face. Shades of brilliant blue and green at the crown of her head faded to rich brown as the feathers trailed down her back. A choker made of gold-plated feathers spread from the base of her jaw to fan out across her clavicle. Earrings made of tiny magenta, purple, and ruby-red hummingbird feathers hung from her ears. "You're late," she added, sweeping her son into an embrace and giving him a tight squeeze, towering over him. The gods all stood well over 7 feet tall, and his mother was no exception. "Sorry," Teo said, returning the hug, her feathers tickling his nose. "I got held up." The bodice of Quetzal's dress was adorned with scarlet macaw feathers, and the rest was made of bright green, cyan, and sapphire blue plumage. The plunging back put her huge wings on full display. While Teo's were unwieldy and knocked into everything if they weren't bound, his mother's folded prettily against her back and never got in the way. "They told me there was a fire," the diosa said, stepping back to look him over. "Your arm," she gasped, delicate fingers running over a burn on his elbow. Teo tried to tug his sleeve down over it. "It's not a big deal. It's already starting to heal." Quetzal sighed but smiled. "Well, thank Sol for that." Her skin was warm brown, just like Teo's, and he'd also inherited her large, dark eyes. "Huemac and I were very worried." Teo seriously doubted the former was true. "Sorry." Quetzal affectionately pushed Teo's wild hair out of his face. "I'm just glad you're safe," she said, smiling. "Thank goodness Marino, Aristella, and your friend Aurelio got there in time." "He's not my friend," Teo said, harsher than he'd meant, but unable to reel in his anger at the mere mention of Aurelio. His mom gave him a disappointed look, but luckily, Huemac and the other priests showed up at just the right time.
"Undress. Let's get you changed," Huemac said.
and a flurry of movement engulfed them. Quetzal stepped out of the way as a standing mirror was brought in along with a clothing rack.
Right down to business, huh? Teo muttered.
A younger priest took the opportunity to take Teo's backpack from his shoulders.
Careful, I've got important stuff in there, Teo said.
Huemac raised an eyebrow. Teo cleared his throat.
You know, homework and stuff. I need it while we're traveling. Can I at least take a shower?
He asked before Huemac could question him further. In return, he was presented with a large silver bowl filled with water and a face cloth. Teo scowled.
This is it?
If you had been on time, you could have taken a shower,
Huemac told him as he calmly clasped his hands and waited by Quetzal's side. Teo dipped the cloth into the basin and immediately hissed between his teeth.
The water is freezing!
If you had been on time.
Yeah, I get it. I can do this part on my own, thank you,
he added, flapping his hand as a priest tried to assist him. Any chance I could get some privacy? He asked the audience as he undid his belt. On cue, a priestess brought forward a screen for him to change behind. He made quick work of scrubbing the soot from his cheeks and arms. Usually, he could attend the various holidays and celebrations wearing a nice shirt with slacks, but since the Sunbearer Trials was their most important ceremony and only happened once every decade, things were a bit more involved.
I don't see why I have to dress up, Teo grumbled as he pulled on bright blue-green charro pants with gold feathers embroidered down the outer seams.
Because you are a semi-dios and there to represent Diosa Quetzal and all of Quetzalan, came Huemac's gruff voice.
Teo grunted.
You'll be able to hang out with Nia for a whole week and a half,
his mom called. Aside from visiting cities, that was the only perk. But Nia was a gold, and a powerful one at that, so there was a good chance she'd be chosen to compete in the trials, in which case he wouldn't be able to spend any time with her at all. Being chosen to compete in the trials was a great honor, of course, but it was also incredibly dangerous, and always deadly. Teo did his best to ignore the twisting in his stomach at the thought of his best friend competing. He struggled out of his shirt and attempted to readjust his binder before stepping out from behind the screen. While Quetzal did her best to keep smiling, Teo didn't miss the softening of her expression or the way her eyes darted to his chest for a fraction of a second. Teo tensed. 2 years ago, when he was 15, Teo realized he was a boy. He'd started hormone replacement therapy and gotten top surgery, which helped him feel more at home in his own body. He even liked his top surgery scars. They looked badass. The binders he wore were for the set of wings he'd been born with. When he was little, he hadn't thought much about them, but that changed when he'd started school. His classmates were always staring, and they laughed whenever he accidentally knocked into something. But the worst part was the touching. The kids in his class could never keep their hands to themselves. Even his teachers were mesmerized, going as far as to touch his feathers and comment on how they felt. He hated the attention and the way it made him feel like the lone animal in a petting zoo.
As if that weren't bad enough, his wings were also the source of Teo's first experiences with dysphoria.
They weren't the brilliant blue and green of male Quetzals, but grayish-brown, with hints of green like the female's plumage. At nearly the same time Teo realized he was a boy, his wings started molting. With help from some of the priests, Teo made binders for his wings so he could keep them hidden, tucked against his back with crisscrossed bands of black spandex. The more he tried to restrain them, the more they seemed to fight back. He only let them free when he slept or took a shower, doing his best not to look at the dull feathers and huge bald patches.
Are you sure you don't want to take that off? Quetzal asked gently.
Mom, Teo said, his voice tight. He did not want to have this discussion again, especially in front of Huemac, who at least had the manners to busy himself with applying a salve to the burn on Teo's arm.
"Doesn't it hurt?" Quetzal asked, softly smoothing her fingers down a section of exposed feathers between their bindings.
"No," Teo lied, shifting out of her reach. The truth was, it did hurt. It was like having a second set of arms handcuffed behind his back, but that was nothing compared to the cloying dysphoria that choked him whenever he saw his wings. Huemac handed over a red sleeveless tunic that a priest helped Teo pull down over his binder. Clearly, having anticipated Teo's refusal to have his wings out, Huemac draped a cape made of the same blue and green feathers as his mother's dress over his shoulders. The most substantial piece was the pectoral. The centerpiece of the collared necklace was Quetzal's glyph, painted in gold onto a huge chunk of jade, adorned with smaller bits of jade, turquoise, and gold beads. The weight of it made Teo sway as Huemac secured it in place. Lastly, Huemac pulled out a circlet made of gleaming Quetzal tail feathers.
"Oh, Huemac, it's beautiful!"
Quetzal beamed, hands collapsed to her chest. Huemac was usually a very reserved man who prided himself on being humble, but Teo didn't miss the way the corner of his lips twitched or the faint hint of red that tinged his cheeks at the compliment.
"Thank you, Diosa," he said, positioning the circlet on Teo's head.
But as soon as Huemac stepped back, it slipped down Teo's forehead.
"A little big, don't you think?" Teo asked, trying to push it back out of his eyes.
Huemac's pleased expression wiped clear.
"If you'd shown up on time, we could have altered it," he replied.
"You look so handsome, Teo,"
Quetzal sang as she fluttered around her son, making tiny adjustments. Teo inspected himself in the mirror and tried to flatten down his curly, dark brown hair. He didn't look bad. It was just so much. But he was a semi-dios, and ceremonial finery came with the territory. He didn't want to hurt his mom's feelings, and as much as he enjoyed teasing Huemac, he knew how much this meant to both of them. So Teo smiled and thumped the priest on the back of his shoulder.
"It looks great."
Huemac gave a slight bow of his head, which was the closest thing to a smile Teo ever got from him, so he took it as a win.
"It's getting late," Quetzal said, still fussing with the feathers of Teo's cape. "I should get back to Sol Temple."
"We'll leave now and meet you there, Diosa," Huemac reassured her.
Quetzal smiled.
"Thank you, Huemac."
She caught Teo's chin and gave him a kiss on the cheek. "Ugh, Mom," Teo groaned, wiping it off with the back of his hand.
"I will see you all soon," she said.
In a flash of light, she vanished.
"Wait, what about my stuff?"
Teo asked as the priests carted out the rack and mirror.
"We already packed for you. The boat is ready,"
Huemac replied curtly, following the other priests toward the stairs.
"Don't forget my backpack," Teo said.
Huemac picked up the beat-up bag from the floor, weighing it in his hand.
"Homework?"
he asked, side-eyeing Teo. Teo nodded vigorously. The circlet slid down to his brow.
"Lots of homework,"
he agreed, pushing the feathers out of his eyes. Huemac sighed deeply.
"The trials are the single most important event you will ever attend. Don't cause me trouble, boy."
Teo blinked his large, dark eyes at Huemac.
"Me?"
His voice broke around the word.
"I would never."
With a disgruntled grumble, Huemac turned away.
"Is this because of what happened during Dia de Muertos? Because that was an accident. I apologize to Dios Mays,"
Teo called after him. When he didn't stop, Teo chased Huemac down the steps.
"Hair grows back!"